In my capacity as a researcher at the Iowa Policy Project, I evaluate potential budget and tax policies according to whether they make our overall fiscal system more sound and help support our shared public priorities. In general, good changes to our tax system are ones that make it fairer, more competitive, more stable and secure, and easier to understand. We want a system that provides sufficient revenue to fund essential public services, but we want it to generate that revenue in a way that respects a taxpayer's ability to pay a tax and doesn't distort an individual's private economic decisions. The income tax reform proposal now before you goes a long way in moving Iowa's overall tax system, comprised of income, sales, and property taxes, in the direction of these basic principles. Let me talk just about two of those principles, competitiveness and fairness. First, competitiveness. When profits dip for a small business owner during a recession, their income tax bill goes down automatically. Even those small business owners lucky enough to have steady profits in these tough economic times will likely see a tax decrease as a result of this proposal. The Tax Policy Center, a project of the Urban Institute and the Brookings Institution, found that nationwide, 70% of taxpayers with small business income earned less than $100,000 in 2009. Assuming the same distribution holds true for Iowa, that would mean that more than 70% of taxpayers with small business income in Iowa would see an average tax decrease under this proposal. I think that makes it a more competitive system. Second, fairness. There's no question that there are particular types of households who benefit the most under this package: low-income, working families with children. In addition to seeing lower income tax rates, these families also stand to benefit from expansions in the earned income tax credit, which help make work pay by targeting tax assistance to income earners with children, as well as expansions in the child and dependent care credit. So yes, this package does offer a disproportionate share of its benefits to low-income families, those who are sending their kids to child care every day so they can hold down a job in a tough economy. I think that makes it a fairer system. Most tax changes made during the past 20 years in Iowa haven't held up when scrutinized according to good budget and tax principles. But this proposal offers us an opportunity to take a step in the direction of common sense and fiscal stability, and I urge the legislature to pass and the governor to sign this bill. Thank you.
Please, no public demonstrations. If the demonstrations continue, the people demonstrating will be moved either from the House floor or the gallery. Next speaker we have is Trudy Kavanis, followed by Ken Sager and Andy Warren.
Thank you very much, Chairman, for allowing me to speak in opposition to the bill that would take away the federal deductibility from Iowa. I am Trudy Kavanis. I'm from Ottumwa, Iowa. My husband and I own small businesses. We own ColorMaster and the Photoshop. We've been in business since 1970. We employ several employees, and we would like to continue not to be taxed on taxed and continue to employ these people. We take the taxes from our personal taxes is how we do it. So if we remove the federal deductibility, we may have to lay off some people. In 1986, the federal government removed some of our deductibilities and promised lower tax rates, similar to what is happening here. It did not take many years before the tax rates went right back up, and we, the taxpayers, did not get the deductions back. I'm fearful that the same thing will happen. It is easier to raise the tax rates, and when I looked at the bill, it looked like we have certain tax rates for this year, and next year we have an increase. Already it looks like you're increasing the tax rates, even though you are saying that we're lowering them. I don't think it will take long. In these economic times, businesses, families have got to tighten their belt. We have got to get within our budget. We can't just keep raising our prices and expecting people to pay. Similar with the legislature. In these economic times, everyone needs to look at cutting expenses and not just taxing and taxing on tax. We need this economic stability of having the federal deductibility, and I urge you not to approve this portion of the tax bill. Thank you.
What is
drop the dairy.
Please, no demonstrations. At some point, if they continue, we will have people cleared from the galleries and on the floor. Next up, we have Ken Sager, followed by Andy Warren and Lana Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Ken Sager with the Iowa Federation of Labor. We represent thousands of working families in this state, as well as many more who are not represented by unions. We strongly support House File 807, which gives a tax break to the middle class, increases deductions for our most vulnerable citizens, and eliminates federal deductibility. We have watched while the Iowa tax system has become increasingly less fair for middle-class Iowans. Elected representatives of this state have tinkered with tax breaks for corporations and special interests while working Iowans have paid the bill. We simply cannot continue this piecemeal approach, which has been a backdoor shift from corporations and the wealthy to the average Iowa workers. Taxes must be considered in their entirety. The net effect of our combined state and local taxes is that lower income people pay more as a percent of their income than higher income people do. The legislature has increased state sales tax repeatedly and allowed local governments to add on local option sales taxes, adversely affecting Iowa workers. In 1997, the legislature cut income tax rates 10%, giving the majority of the benefit to the wealthy Iowans while hamstringing government's ability to provide the legitimate needs of Iowans during this difficult economic times. Federal deductibility exacerbates this regressive impact on Iowa taxes and hurts middle-class working families. A 2003 analysis of Iowa's income tax system found that 80% of the benefits of federal deductibility go to 20% of the wealthiest Iowans. More transparency is needed in Iowa's tax code. Only three states allow this backdoor tax break for the richest of society. The benefits of these middle-class tax breaks will go not only to the families who work hard and play by the rules, but also to Iowa's Main Street businesses, who offer goods and services that workers will be able to buy with more money in their pocket. It's time to end this old holdover. It's time to amend Iowa's tax code to increase transparency. It's time for a middle class tax cut. It's time to pass House File 807 into law. Thank you.
Next up, we have Andy Warren, followed by Lana Ross, followed by Barb Knight.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Andy Warren, and I am the State Director for the National Federation of Independent Business here in Iowa. Our organization represents over 8,000 businesses in every corner of our great state, the bulk of whom employ six or fewer people. This evening, I will speak against House File 807 and the tax consequences contained in this bill. Make no mistake about it, this bill is a tax increase on many small business owners across this state. By its sponsor's own admission, there are winners and losers in every income level from lowest to highest. I must admit that I was shocked when this bill's sponsors introduced it and announced there are winners and losers. When over 80,000 Iowans are out of work and there is uncertainty in the farm economy, this is not the time to experiment with a tax code. The legislature should look at helping job creators. It is disturbing that some legislators brought to office by the people would knowingly introduce legislation where almost 500,000 taxpayers are described as losers. I stand here tonight in defense of the so-called losers because many are my members. They are the state's small business owners, the state's job creators who are responsible for 3/4 of all new jobs. So let's talk about these people for just a moment. Small businesses remain the backbone of Iowa's economy. Over 97.5% of businesses in this state are small. It is my members who risk their family's future to enter the marketplace with a new product or service with no safety net in place. I have talked with small business owners that go without pay to ensure everyone else gets a paycheck. And my members will not receive a bailout if they fail. Should my members be successful, the community where they live will benefit because it is small business owners who sponsor Little League teams. It is small business owners that make sure that there's a fireworks program on July 4th. It is my small business owners that support all high school sports and proudly display that fact on their storefront window. So for all these mom and pop businesses around the state, for all their hard work, what can they expect from House File 807? They are given a tax increase and called losers.
Next up, we have Lana Ross, followed by Barb Knight, followed by Victor Elias.
Good evening. I'm Lana Ross with the Iowa Community Action Association. I represent a network of 18 agencies that last year provided a variety of services to more than 306,000 individuals, or 119,000 households, in all 99 counties of Iowa. Of the families who came to us for assistance, almost 51,000 reported that they earn income from employment and other sources, such as Social Security or SSI. Most of these households have at least one child, and many are single parents, and they are usually working at very low-wage jobs. We support House File 807, and we commend this year's General Assembly for moving forward with this bill. The portion of the bill that we're excited about is Section 6, which increases the earned income tax credit from the current level of 7% to 8% and provides additional resources to hardworking, low-income Iowans. It also increases the income eligibility for child care and dependent care credit for households earning $45,000 and adds a child care credit at 30% of the federal credit for tax filers earning between $45,000 and $50,000 in annual income. Indexing for future increases is also included in the bill. Low-wage working families have been very patient as the state does minimal increases in the earned income tax credit. As an advocate for those families, I'd like to see a higher increase, but the bill would not be revenue neutral, and I know that that is a priority of this General Assembly. Some people want to say that there are winners and losers in this bill, but I think we all win. Because when hardworking, low-wage earners benefit from tax changes, it's good for everyone in our state. Some people also want to say that this is a backdoor tax increase. It isn't. It's an out-in-the-open, transparent simplification of Iowa's tax code. I encourage your support of the bill. It moves Iowa in the right direction towards tax fairness.
Next up, we have Barb Knight, followed by Victor Elias, followed by Ed Failer, Jr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for allowing me to speak this evening about my concerns regarding House File 807. I feel this bill would be a detriment to my family's current financial situation and my small business's potential for growth and expansion. My husband and I are both self-employed, operating our own separate small businesses. I'm a consultant working with communications, public relations, fund development, and event planning. My husband is a healthcare provider working in the Cedar Rapids area for over 25 years. According to the Small Business Administration's Small Business Profile published in 2008, I quote, Iowa had 64,129 businesses, small business employers in 2006, representing 97.4% of the state's employers and 51.6% of its private sector employment. It goes on to say the healthcare and social assistance industry was the state's largest small business employer in 2006, and small businesses created 61.9% of the state's net jobs for 2004 to 2005. According to the Iowa Workforce Development and Economy Report in 2008, a subheading proudly declared entrepreneurs are leading drivers of the economy. I mention these sources to underscore that my husband and I represent that demographic of 97.4% of the state's potential employers. And my husband's business as a healthcare provider is within that group of largest small business employers. We are Iowa. We have a family, we have small businesses, we hire people, we provide goods and services, we pay our bills, we buy groceries, and we're sending two kids to college. What this bill proposes will essentially eat away at our ability to expand our businesses, hire employees, and it will limit our ability to fully fund our children's educational opportunities. If we can't expand and grow our businesses, then we won't be able to hire new employees, and most likely we'll need to decrease our goods and services, while passing on higher costs of our doing business to our clients. I don't know, and I don't understand how this bill could strengthen Iowa business climate if it effectively limits the entrepreneur's ability to be a leading driver of the economy, as the Iowa Workforce Development Office has promoted. This bill does not reward work. It does not have the ability to strengthen Iowa's business climate. As small business owners, we do not have the employer to match contributions to our Social Security, medical insurance, nor our retirement funds. We pay for everything, including all of the taxes out of pocket. If this bill were to pass and our deductibility of our federal taxes is eliminated, we will be further hampered by less money to contribute to our own medical needs and costs, retirement accounts, and it will increase the burden of meeting our federal Social Security obligations.
I'm sorry, your 3 minutes has expired. Thank you. Next up, we have Victor Elias, followed by Ed Failer, Jr., followed by Christian Fong.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Iowa Fiscal Partnership supports House File 807 in its attempts to make Iowa's overall tax system more progressive. After years of tax policy that favored wealthier Iowans, it's time for the tax code to give a benefit to middle and lower income working Iowans. House File 807 does so. Over the last 20 years, major changes in Iowa's tax system have disproportionately hit middle and lower income Iowa families, primarily with two major sales tax increases. And over the same period of time, it disproportionately benefited wealthier income Iowans. Major impact was an across-the-board 10% cut in income tax rates that actually provided most of its benefits to the upper 20% of earners. Federal deductibility provisions under current law provide 80% of its benefits to the upper 20% of Iowa households, in essence, to those earning more than $97,000 a year. By lowering income tax rates for all Iowans, this bill makes our income tax structure more competitive with surrounding states, reducing the top rate to 6.98%. It lowers or leaves unchanged the taxes for two-thirds of Iowans, and most of the rate reductions will benefit lower and middle income families. Eliminating federal deductibility will also return control of Iowa's income tax system to Iowa's elected officials. Rather than letting it remain in the hands of special interests on K Street in Washington as they play with the federal tax code. The slogan, a tax on a tax, sounds real well. It's a good slogan. It's very poor policy analysis. If you really want to look at tax on a tax, 75 years ago, the United States adopted a constitutional amendment making the income tax legal. Since then, and even before then, there's been taxes on taxes. This is no different. The majority of other states do not allow federal deductibility. We encourage the legislature to pass and the governor to sign House File 807. This is legislation that will provide a benefit for the majority of Iowa working families. Thank you.
Next up, we have Ed Failer, Jr., followed by Christian Fong, followed by Matt Miller.
I'm Ed Failer, Jr., and I'm president of Iowans for Tax Relief. I want to thank you, Mr. Chairman, for allowing the people of Iowa to be heard tonight. We're not here about numbers. We're not here about tax rates. We're here about two things: respecting and honoring the past of Iowa, and what investment are we going to make in our future, and what are we going to say to our future? We have two groups of people in this building tonight, and hundreds of them, I think conservatively I can say, hundreds of people here tonight who care and want to tell you that taxing the money they already pay to the federal government isn't reasonable. And the two groups that make the most sense to me that we need to be worrying about are those folks, those seniors, those retired people in the state of Iowa who spent their whole life giving to our communities, supporting churches, supporting YMCAs, voting, door knocking for candidates, being in parades, making sure that our communities are everything that we want, why we stay here, because we walk down the street and we say hello to our neighbors. Everything that's great about Iowa, these people built. And what are we telling them? Thanks for staying in Iowa. Thanks for building our community. But this year, if you're on a retirement income, you've been responsible, you've paid off your home, you don't have any deductions, and you make $40,000 a year or less, you and 180,000 people in that tax bracket that make $40,000 a year or less are going to see their taxes go up. So the legislature is telling you, if this happens, thanks a lot for building Iowa. Now step up and do your fair share, apparently. And then there's another group. We have kids that came in buses from every Regent University in this state, and we have young people who attend other private universities in the state that are here tonight. And we're showing an utter disrespect with House File 807 for our future. That resource we're investing in as taxpayers at our state universities to have these young people educated so they can be the earners, they can be the taxpayers, they can be the people providing jobs. And we're telling them, get out of Iowa, because you get out of school, you're not married, you don't have any deductions, you start saving some money, and you make less than $40,000 a year. Right now, this legislature, with House File 807, made your tax condition worse. And they'll vote with their feet, and they won't stay here, because you've named that you're targeting people who make $125,000 a year. These are the people who are going to give them jobs, and the people they aspire to be. And if you want the job, or you aspire to be successful, get out of Iowa. So I say respect and honor our past and the people who built this state and treasure our future and treat them with respect as well and vote no on House File 807.
Next up, we have Christian Fong, followed by Matt Miller, followed by Kelly Sawyer.
Mr. Chairman and other legislators, I'm honored to be here tonight among many friends on both sides of the aisle that serve faithfully and selflessly in the legislature. My name is Christian Fong from Cedar Rapids. I'm the president of Corridor Recovery, the nonprofit that has helped lead flood recovery in Linn County. I'm also the chairman of Cedar Rapids Small Business Task Force. I'm here to praise the attempt to reform our complicated tax system, but to ask you to oppose this particular bill. I'm not a partisan. I deal with facts. The fact is that this plan will raise taxes. It would raise taxes on Iowans already hurting in disaster areas and hurting in a recession. In Cedar Rapids, the Small Business Task Force works hand-in-hand with businesses that are recovering from the floods. Unfortunately, in Cedar Rapids, over 20% of flooded businesses have already closed their doors and will probably never come back. Day after day, I have the privilege of talking to small business owners who feel a profound sense of loyalty and dedication to their employees. They'll do nearly anything not to cut jobs. But I see the data. Margins are incredibly thin. For most, sales are slowing and debt burdens are rising to flood levels to get through the recovery and the recession. Yet we're seeing businesses close every week. The Small Business Task Force estimated that about 7,500 jobs are at risk in Linn County. The worst of it will come in years 2 and 3 after the flood, just when this proposal would begin raising taxes by tens of millions of dollars. Bottom line, this tax on a tax plan will cost us jobs in Linn County. It will close businesses that are trying to come back from a flood. Not just a handful of jobs, but hundreds of jobs. A recession is the worst time to raise taxes. I'm also here to speak on behalf of the next generation of Iowans. I'm the vice chair of the Generation Iowa Commission. I've spoken to many legislators about this alarming outflow of young educated Iowans. What the commission discovered is that the root cause of brain drain in the state of Iowa is that our higher education related jobs don't pay enough. Wealth in Iowa is primarily driven by two things, education and hard work. From the next generation's perspective, this plan is a tax on education and a tax on hard work. Jobs for educated Iowans. Our dentists, accountants, or engineers already pay 15% less than the national average for those jobs. It's the key cause of why our kids are leaving Iowa in droves. They're voting with their feet. Let's not add to the problem by raising taxes on the exact sorts of jobs that next generation Iowans are so eager to compete for. On behalf of the next generation, I'm asking that this bill go back to the drafting stage. In its current form, I ask you to vote against it. But thank you for tackling the difficult work of reforming the income tax code. It's a worthy project. But create a simpler tax code that doesn't just cut 9 lines from the tax forms, but dozens of lines. Lower tax rates so that no working Iowan of any income level will see their taxes rise. And create a fairer tax code with fewer loopholes that truly rewards work, innovation, and education. For all hardworking Iowans, for the next generation of Iowa, I thank you.
Please have order. If there is one more, evidence of cheering or hissing or booing a speaker, I'm under order from the speaker to clear the chamber. The tradition of the House is to have order when individuals are making presentations and speeches. So please, if there's another outburst, I'm under the speaker's orders to clear the chamber. Next up, we have Matt Miller, followed by Kelly Sawyer, followed by Steve Kennert.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My name is Matt Miller, and I'm president and founder of Mobile Demand in Cedar Rapids. We are a high-tech technology company that fosters innovation and entrepreneurship. I founded the company over 5 years ago with the intent to better our lives, better the community. We now have 10 employees. We have high-tech computers right here in Iowa being designed and manufactured. They're rugged, by the way. Now don't clap. What I see here in this bill here today is not that the legislature is concentrating on developing our economic growth for the future. However, I see other strategies that actually hurt small business like myself. Mobile Demand, as a technology company, we placed number 148 on the Inc. 500 list for 2008. And in fact, that was the top company in the state of Iowa, number one for the state of Iowa, as far as the fastest growing companies in Iowa. So it's a real, very proud achievement that we've had. We've been Technology Company of the Year from the Technology Association of Iowa, Entrepreneur of the Year from the Corridor Business Journal as well. The taxes that we're looking at here for not only the federal deductibility, but there's also talk about that this legislature is considering a repeal of the research activities tax credit. That repeal, combined with the federal deductibility, looks to my situation as a small business owner that my taxes will go up more than 50%. When a small business owner is already operating in a recession, in a down economy, our profit margins are thin. We have to do what we have to do to cut expenses, to maintain employment, and stay viable. With the taxes being increased by more than 50%, you can bet that we have to look at alternative ways to reduce expenses in light of the state taking that money from us. What that means is that the engineering that I do here in Cedar Rapids in Iowa and the production that we do in Iowa has to be looked at as alternatives to where we would look at alternatives elsewhere out of the state. That means reduced employment, that means reduced economic growth and vitality for the future. Iowa placed number 42 out of 50 in a recent study by the Kauffman Foundation for innovative and entrepreneurship for responding to the new economy. Iowa needs to concentrate on small business and foster innovation and entrepreneurship. I'm truly astonished to see the legislature going after small business people like myself. The small gains that may be had for tax cuts for other classes are going to be more than offset by business owners being impacted and have to reduce their expenses. What I ask is my representative, Tyler Olson, are you going to be a non-representative representative?
Excuse me, sir, you're out of time. The 3 minutes have expired. Next up, we have Kelly Sawyer, followed by Steve Kennert, followed by Lyle Crewson.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you tonight. My name is Kelly Sawyer. I am the Executive Director of the Iowa Chapter of the National Association of Social Workers. We are the largest association representing social workers nationwide. We represent over 1,100 social workers across the state of Iowa. Social workers support Iowa's most vulnerable populations at every stage of life, from children to the elderly. We work to promote the well-being of individuals, families, and communities. As social workers, we advocate on behalf of those who often do not have a voice. I am here to speak in support of House File 807. This bill provides changes to the Iowa tax code that could benefit up to two-thirds of Iowa's households. House File 807 will provide an opportunity to present tax fairness in the state of Iowa. The current proposal will move Iowa's regressive tax structure towards greater equality, allowing people to pay their fair share. This bill will target tax breaks to low and middle income tax earners, providing tax credits to key populations. Highlights of these credits include increasing the child care credit to expand the credit for eligible families. The thought? Iowans supporting working families. Increase the earned income tax credit, a program aimed to lift families out of poverty. And increase the elderly and blind personal credits. Iowa is an aging state with over 14% of our population aged 65 and older. By the year 2030, the number is projected to increase to 22%. As a budget-neutral bill, House File 807 will take steps to strengthen the stability and predictability of our state revenues. Releasing our ties to the federal government's tax policies assures more state-level accountability in our tax system. This is also important to assure we have the structure and resources needed to fund the programs that help our most vulnerable citizens. Within the last month, the following headlines could be found in the Des Moines Register. Fourth quarter foreclosure rate in Iowa reaches 10-year high. Iowa unemployment rate increases to 4.9%. And more wait for mental health care services in Polk County. Every day we hear the stories of people struggling to have their basic needs met, whether it is food, housing, or health care. When these headlines reach the paper, it means someone is in need. It is our responsibility as Iowans to assure we care for our own. Thank you. And for your note, there is a copy of my written testimony.
Next up, we have Steve Kennert, followed by Lyle Krusen, followed by Jeff Bean.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Steve Kunert, and I'm the president and owner of SNK Enterprises based in Cedar Rapids. My 10-year-old business operates as an S corporation, and so for all practical purposes, any tax events that affect my personal income tax situation also affect my small business. I specialize in providing contract mechanical engineering and new product development services to independent inventors and small startup businesses in eastern Iowa. I employ two full-time subcontract mechanical designers. For the last 4 years, I've invested a large portion of my personal discretionary income into several key invention developments and small startup companies that will hopefully lead to new products coming to the market and ultimately generate more jobs, more business tax revenue from new business growth. One established small company I invested in is Mobile Demand, and they have proven that this model can work. Mobile Demand is generating significant revenue and taxes and employing 10 people in the area. Excuse me. I understand the intention of the proposed bill to help certain classes of taxpayers. My tax accountant is estimating that my net state tax liability would increase by 30% if the proposed bill went into effect this year. I would not benefit from any of the proposed alterations or other tax credits that are on this proposed bill. Just as I run my personal expenses within the limits of income I have, I also run my business and investments the same way. And if my income or revenue is down, then I'm forced to shrink my planned expenditures. In my case, those expenditures would otherwise have gone into new and growing businesses. In the last 4 years, I've put a little over $90,000 of cash into several businesses and inventions in my area. Every additional dollar of tax that I pay is a dollar less that I can invest in the future. The state budget grew with the prosperity and overall economic growth that we experienced a while back. But now we're in an economic downturn. Now that that's occurred, it seems logical and fiscally responsible that the state government would shrink the budget to bring its own expenditures in line with existing tax revenue and not continue to look for ways to extract more taxes from the fixed pool of taxpayers, no matter what their level, and many of whom already have severe economic crises upon them right now. So thank you for consideration.
Next up, we have Lyle Crewson, followed by Jeff Bean, followed by Wes Enos.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good evening. I'm Lyle Crewson, and I'm speaking this evening on behalf of the Iowa Human Needs Advocates. Thank you for providing us this opportunity to speak on behalf of hundreds of thousands of Iowans tonight. The Iowa Human Needs Advocates Coalition, is a coalition of more than 30 professional, church, labor, or advocacy organizations and service agencies organized more than 25 years ago to be a voice for Iowans whose voices are not always easily heard. Despite our diversity, we share a common interest in the well-being of thousands of Iowans ranging from infants to the aged who cannot survive without appropriate assistance. Human Needs Advocates meets regularly to share information, coordinate activities, and define and advocate common public policy goals. We believe that poverty can be eliminated in Iowa, that it is a basic human right for all people to have food, clothing, and affordable housing, health care, and child care, that those living in poverty are the first to act to change their situation, and their efforts should be identified and supported as a matter of priority and policy, and that government has a responsibility to play a significant role in eliminating poverty amidst us. Progressive taxation is most frequently applied in reference to personal income taxes, where people with more disposable income pay a higher percentage of that income in tax than do those with less income. Progressive taxes attempt to reduce the tax incidence of people with a lower ability to pay, as tax policy shifts the incidence to those with a higher ability to pay. That is a value long held by the Iowa Human Needs Advocates. In the 33 years that I have worked in this building as a legislator and as a lobbyist, I have watched as tax law was adjusted in ways that have made our state's tax policy less progressive and ever more regressive. As a human need advocate, I want that to be turned around. Combining most current Iowa tax policy, Iowans with the highest incomes pay in proportion about 40% less of their income in taxes than do other Iowans. Lightening that tax burden on Iowa's middle class families, as House File 807 seeks to do, would reverse that regressivity trend, finally. Instead, it will reward work and provide reductions to Iowa middle-class workers, those who are bearing the brunt of our disturbing national recession. Many is the time you, I, and others have spoken in this chamber extolling pride in Iowa's leadership of our nation.
Your time has expired. The next three on the list, we have Jeff Bean, followed by Wes Enos, followed by Matt Randall. Matt Randall has not yet checked in. If we could please have Matt Randall checked in. First up is Jeff Bean.
Thank you and good evening. I'd like to thank you for being here tonight, but frankly, I'm a little irritated that I've had to take time away from my business, away from my family, to show up and represent the opposition and disdain I have for the notion that this bill and eliminating federal deductibility is somehow good for Iowa. My name is Jeff Bean. I am self-employed from Cedar Rapids. 10 years ago, I quit my job to start a business. I'm working. I'm very hardworking. My wife, Kathleen, is a stay-at-home mom. We have 5 kids under the age of 9. Yesterday, in anticipation of this hearing, I called my CPA And I asked him, first of all, he told me, I'm glad you're going. I'm persuading everybody to go and talk against this bill. Secondly, I asked him, do me a quick favor, calculate my taxes as if this bill was law for 2008. He called me back this morning, and he said, if this was in place right now, you'd owe an extra $600 to $700 in state income tax for 2008. You were promoting this as a revenue-neutral bill, you know, and so if we're not raising more taxes, all we're really doing is taking money from my family, my children, and giving it to somebody else. Not sure how that is fair in anybody else's mind. You know, 15% FICA, 25% federal, 9% state, 6% sales tax, property tax on top of that. You want to add those numbers up? I mean, how much more do we really want to take? You take away one of my biggest tax deductions with the promise that you're going to lower taxes, the tax rates. But I have no protection that a year from now and 2 years from now or 3 years from now, you don't hike those rates back up. State government continues to grow out of control. You guys have an insatiable desire for more and more money. It's inevitable to go up. So, you know, I meet with hundreds of people every year in my business. It's quadrupled over the last 10 years, and it's grown because people trust me to put their best interests first, do what's right. And so my suggestion to all of you would be to do the same thing. You know, treat us as your clients, do what's right, do what's best for all of Iowa, put our best interests first. Thank you.
Next up, we have Wes Enos, followed by Matt Randall, followed by Jason Hutchinson. Matt Randall, please check in if you're here.
Okay. Oh, there we go. Thank you, sir. As an independent consultant, I can see nothing fair nor progressive about a tax that does significant damage to independent consultants like myself. Already, as an independent consultant, we're forced to pay more money because we're paying all taxes out of pocket, including our FICA and other federal income taxes. Now we're being asked to pay a tax on top of another tax, and I don't quite understand how that's a fair system. No one has really explained to me how it is fair that we're going to make supposed losers out of over 450,000 Iowans, particularly the self-employed. This is how those of us who are self-employed pay our mortgages. It's how we stimulate the economy. It's how we keep jobs growing in this state. And it's disappointing that in a time of federal economic crisis and state economic crisis, that we're going to try and drive the people who drive jobs and money into the state out of the state and disenfranchise them. I fail to see how any of this is fair, so I would urge this body to defeat House File 807 and do what's best for Iowa. Thank you for your time.
Next up, we'll have Matt Randall, followed by Jason Hutchinson, followed by Tim Palmer.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for the opportunity this evening. I am always amazed of the gift that we as Iowans have to come and speak to this body. I'm only disappointed to know that there are representatives that are not here tonight, unwilling to listen to our voices. I am the great-grandson of a Mason from Mason City, a home builder from Mason City, and the son of a man who, to start his small business, bought a house, renovated the attic, and crawled up a ladder to start his business so he could raise me. He grew that business to the point where we today employ, during the summer months when things were good as builders, up to 50 folks. I can tell you today that is not happening. I have spent the last 8 years of my life traveling this state speaking to young professionals. I am the founder of an organization called Young Professionals of Iowa. I started that organization because I truly believed that Iowa was the place where there was more opportunity than anywhere else in this country. The fact that people like us can come here and speak to you like this is incredible. It's a gift that we have. My concern today, though, is that we are becoming a state, instead of being that of opportunity, we are becoming a state where we look to young people and we say, We don't want you here if your goal is to be successful. We don't want you to be here if your goal is to grow a business. We don't want you to be here if your goal is to make money. And that is totally against what I believe in, and I think a number of people in this room believe in. What we should do in this state is create a vacuum where we draw young talent. We should create a vacuum where people look to the state of Iowa and say, that's the place I want to be to grow my business and to grow my family. My concern is, with bills like this and policy that we see going on, we have created a state of invincibility where we say we don't want people to come into the state of Iowa. We're going to shield people from coming into the state of Iowa and being successful. I ask you, I ask all the members, please do not support this bill.
Next up, we have Jason Hutchinson, followed by Tim Palmer, followed by Greg Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jason Hutchinson, and I'm the Director of Economic Development at the Greater Burlington Partnership, which serves Burlington, West Burlington, and the surrounding area in Southeast Iowa. Our organization represents over 600 chamber members, many of whom are small businesses. Part of my job in particular is to attract new jobs and investment to my area. It is true that the economic development community has long sought a simplification of Iowa's tax code. Our state's income tax rates, at a minimum, appear to be uncompetitive with other areas of the country. For years, organizations such as ours have lobbied for a more competitive taxing environment, and one, frankly, that is less difficult to explain. However, in the now-named House File 807 proposal, federal deductibility is being used as a diversion to realign tax rates that will create winners and losers. Revenue neutral, as it pertains to the state treasury, is not the same as neutral tax liability to the citizen. Some have proclaimed that this proposal should be passed because it would improve economic development efforts. To be clear, our organization supports a simplified tax code. That said, we cannot in good faith support proposed legislation that provides benefit to a select few while shifting additional tax liability to others. In my job, I work daily with the men and women of our community that run small businesses. These folks create jobs, reinvest in our communities, and add life to our downtowns. While many enjoy working for themselves, it is not easy to be a small business owner. Payroll must be met every week, and cash flow is always tight. Some mortgage their homes to keep businesses' doors open. Others put in extra hours on the weekend. They work hard, and they sacrifice. And in Iowa, they also carry the burden of local governments and school districts. Just this month, commercial property owners were reminded of that burden as they sent checks to county treasurers. Under the proposal before us, the state of Iowa would increase income taxes on this very group of folks that already carry our property tax burden. These are the folks that provide jobs and innovation. In this difficult economy, it is inappropriate to increase taxes on small business owners. After all, these are the very folks we hope will recover quickly from a challenging economy. Eliminating federal deductibility and replacing it with an altered tax code that creates winners and losers will not assist in our economic development efforts.
Next up, we have Tim Palmer, followed by Greg Baker, followed by Bill Dix.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Tim Palmer. I'm from Cedar Rapids. I'm a small business owner who lost his business in the flood last June. I'm also a husband and a father to 9 children. I'm the chair of the Linn County GOP, and I publish a political website, HawkeyeReview.com. From my perspective, the premise of increasing any tax burdens to small businesses still recovering from our state's worst ever natural disaster is unfathomable for me to accept. In addition to representing myself as a flood-affected business owner, I also have the privilege to speak on behalf of many other business owners from my county. And let me assure you that the public and the private sentiment right now states that we are against any tax increases, but most notably the federal deductibility. We're experiencing a declining economic environment, and by all indications, this trajectory appears to show further losses to the Iowa economy. before we experience any long-term recovery. Combine this with the exploding federal deficits and the sunset of EGTRA, or the Bush tax cuts, at the end of next year, and you have all the benchmarks for severe economic distress that is most damaging to the small business owner. Of the trillions of dollars of TARP funds that will be distributed, how much of this relief will be directed to small business owners? I understand our governor flew out to Microsoft yesterday, attempting to retain 75 new jobs for West Des Moines. As you heard my friend Christian Fong mention earlier, we have 7,500 jobs that are at risk in Cedar Rapids right now. And I have great concern that our governor spent his time in Washington State when he should be in Cedar Rapids, where the potential for catastrophic loss is even greater. Unless you have information to the contrary, it's my understanding that Iowa's economic pipeline is nearly empty with regards to future prospects for major industries to locate here in the Hawkeye State. That serves to inform us of this critical fact. Small business startups will be the driving force for new jobs and economic development here over the next several years. Further degrading our already unfavorable tax climate will serve only to inhibit new business startups, close existing businesses, and drive many others out of the state. Less dramatic but equally powerful is the effect this legislation will have on existing business owners in the state who will simply downsize their businesses to what I call the safe zone, which decreases staffing, suspends capital investments, and virtually eliminates the entrepreneur's willingness to assume risk. I've spoken to countless business owners in the last 60 days who are already embarking on these downsizing measures. Contrast this, however, to the sweet spot in business, much like hitting a great tee shot or a baseball in just the right place. This is where business is
hiring. I'm sorry, you're out of time. Next up, we have Greg Baker, followed by Bill Dix, followed by Laura Schulte.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, for letting me speak here tonight. Let me tell you, as a college student, this is an amazing opportunity to speak to this very prestigious body. My name's Greg Baker. I'm the state chair of the College Republicans in Iowa, and also a graduating senior at the University of Iowa. And I oppose this bill for this very reason. I'm going to be graduating with many other thousands of students in this state that are planning to leave this state. I have been here since I was 6 years old. I love this state. I've driven around this state. I don't want to leave it. But this is the message that this body has sent me this last year. First, I hear you guys have proposed to shut down school districts in this state that are too small that we think for our body. Iowa's always been leading education. I graduated from one of those schools, Earlham Senior High School, that you plan to shut down. The next thing I hear from the governor's office is that we're going to fill this deficit we have with bonds. And we're going to pay for these bonds through gaming. So basically, you're telling me right now I need to go out gambling to pay for the governor's budget. That is not a policy. I mean, I'm in college. We can play poker all night and pay for the governor's budget, but it's not a good policy. And then now I get to hear on this new piece of legislation you're going to be doing to remove federal deductibility from our taxes. I read that Iowa has been considered 49th in the nation for a place to start a business. Well, I'm going to go ahead and give West Virginia a call, because if this passes, we're moving down to 50. This is getting out of control. This state's been in a downhill slope. We talk about how we're going to redistribute the wealth in this country. Well, if we keep this up, there's not going to be any wealth left. I mean, after 8 years of Vilsack, we always lost Maytag and everybody else. When's it going to stop here? We're going to wait till all the farmers and small businesses pack up too? I mean, I beg of you guys not to vote for this legislation, or Iowa just can't handle it anymore. We might as well turn off the lights to businesses in this state, because there'll be no hope. Thank you for your time, and please quit messing up this state.
Next up. One moment, Mr. Dix. I've warned the demonstrators repeatedly, with the exception of the speakers and legislators, we need the galleries cleared by the state troopers. Sure.
I'm Pat Murphy. I'm the Speaker of the House. We require a decorum in this chamber. We don't expect to have plotting and loud screaming and yelling. We do, and I do, reserve the right to clear the chamber under any circumstances. The chair of this public hearing has requested the chamber cleared, and that is final. Please have the state troopers escort people from the galleries. People that are allowed to speak, that have signed up in advance, will be allowed. Thank you for coming.